Please rise. The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Frisch, Judge Smith, Judge Schmidt, the Honorable Jennifer L. Frisch presiding.
Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is November 21, 2024. We have five cases on our calendar today. The first one is A241113, Holstad versus Town of May. Counsel, you're familiar with our proceedings. You'll each have 15 minutes for your primary argument. The appellant will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use that. This proceeding is being live streamed and recorded. That is the only recording that is permitted. It will be posted online shortly after these proceedings conclude. I'd ask that you identify yourself and your client and let us know how we can reference you before you begin your argument this morning. And with that, counsel, we're ready for you anytime you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chief Judge, Your Honor. My name is Devin Holstead with Winthrop & Weinstein on behalf of appellants Bryce Holstead and Jody Holstead. I use he, him pronouns. May it please the court. There are two primary reasons that the town's decision purporting to establish a cartway in this instance must be overturned. The first is that the town lacks the authority to condition the establishment of a cartway on things like $1.4 million worth of construction, third-party regulatory approval, and payment of future attorney's fees. The second reason is that when looking at the cartway choices here, the petitioner's proposal, which required none of those conditions, and the town's chosen alternative, it is clear that the town did not comply with the Kennedy standard, which requires deference to the petitioner's chosen route unless the alternative is less disruptive and less damaging. I will address both of those issues in turn. First, there is no dispute that the town's duty under MnStat 164.08 is a mandatory one. Under that mandatory duty, there are only two ways in which the town may exercise any type of discretion. First, they may exercise some discretion in establishing damages. Now, damages are specifically defined in the statute as costs to the town in the establishment of the cartway and physical damage, monetary damage stemming from the physical alterations to the neighboring property. The second way the town may exercise any amount of discretion is choosing an alternative route subject to the Kennedy standard, which I will discuss briefly later. Those are the only two enumerated ways in which the town may exercise discretion in exercising its duty. And the town here went above and beyond those exercises of discretion by requiring, among other things, $1.4 million worth of construction, third-party regulatory approval from numerous other bodies, including the National Park Service, Washington County, and others, and payment of future attorney's fees, including fees in connection with this appeal.
Counsel, are you encompassing in the second category of the town's discretion the ability of the town to assess whether the proposed cartway is within the public's interest?
So that the public interest, Your Honor, that comes into play when considering an alternative subject to the Kennedy standard. I'm talking first and foremost here about the authority in general that the town has in exercising discretion at all.
Okay. I understand. Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. So when looking at the authority granted to the town, which the town cannot go beyond its enumerated authority in the statute, there simply is no statutory authority which allows the town to require these elements as for establishment of the cartway. And I think what this comes down to is a misunderstanding by the town about where the authority comes from in the cartway statute. This court addressed that issue in Silver v. Ridgway. It was a 2007 case before this court. And this court made clear that the cartway statute is only general condemnation authority. It is not general roadway construction authority. That's the difference here, and that's where the town went awry, is they are interpreting the cartway statute as something that allows them to basically require construction and things like that, which simply don't exist in any of the statutes and doesn't exist in any of the case law in this state's 100-plus years of Cartway jurisprudence. This court made that clear as well in Brewski v. Plainview Township. That's a 2000 unpublished case where this court made that determination specifically and addressed the fact that the Cartway statute as a specific statute is not implicated in the general roadway construction statutes. Now, the evidence of the town's misinterpretation of the statute can be found at page 20 of the appellant's addendum. Those are minutes from the October board meeting where the town considered this issue. The town's attorney stated, quote, "The statute compels the town to determine the alternatives and the terms to which it will be built." Well, that just simply doesn't exist in the statute. So the town just fundamentally misunderstands what the statute allows them to do. And if you think about the elements of requiring construction and requiring statutory authority, there's a reason that it makes sense that requiring those things does not comply with the town's mandatory duty. With regard to construction, the establishment of a cartway, which is simply granting access across a piece of land, is different than construction. We talk in the briefing a lot about the difference between establishment and construction of a cartway. The town hasn't addressed that issue at all.
Establishment mean that the party who sought it, the landlocked property owner, has a right to use that route?
If they pay the damages enumerated in the statute, Your Honor.
I want to understand just different scenarios to understand your argument. So let's say, first of all, that there is, as there was here, a pre-existing road or driveway. What is the standard by which, I sort of understood your argument from your brief, that there first has to be an up or down on that one, and then you get to what the alternative route is, and then you can take into account public interest. Am I understanding your argument correctly?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And so with respect, so the first one you're saying has to be sort of a siloed decision, up or down on the proposed one. What, as I understand it, explain to me how that works, because it seems like if there's an obvious, let's take a situation where there's an obvious, easier alternative, what would that mean, the up or down on that one? What does the town get to take into consideration?
Well, so it's a little bit more complicated, I think, than a just straight up or down vote, because the town does have discretion to consider alternatives. They're not required to.
Okay, so they may sort of, from the jump, say, no, let's look over here as well as what's proposed.
They could, but when they do that, that's when the Kennedy standard is implicated. And what Kennedy says is that the petitioner's route must be chosen unless those alternatives are both in the public interest and less damaging and less disruptive.
I think the alternative, third alternative that was considered but not chosen here was the pre-existing driveway, but improved. Is that correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
And so your argument is that your insistence on an unimproved, there can be no requirement whatsoever as to how a cartway, what happens on that cartway.
Correct.
Whatsoever. So even if there had been nothing there, even if it was just wild open, territory, and the petitioner suggested this route, but without sort of an explanation for how, or I don't know, whether it will be safe, whether it makes sense, that the town would have to grant that and couldn't condition it on, well, yes, but you need to do X, Y, and Z?
Correct, Your Honor, and that's what the case law in this state suggests, is that the town must only establish the route. After that, it's incumbent on petitioners to determine whether they want to seek construction or anything like that.
But you do, in here where you have a pre-existing route, the property owners would be permitted to use that to the disadvantage, that landlocked property owner, to the disadvantage, perhaps, I think is what I'm reading in here, the concerns of the existing, of the actual, the Youngman property owners, because if that creates conditions that are dangerous for them, you know, running into each other, like in a, with there's no way to go around and that kind of thing, that under your argument that it had to be granted, it couldn't, there could be no, even if they had chosen that route, there could be no improvements required. Why does that not operate substantially to the disadvantage of the existing, of the Youngman property owners?
Because under the statute, Your Honor, the only analysis with regard to the neighboring property owners is the physical damage to the property.
Not their safety in using their own driveway or anything like that.
Correct, Your Honor. Subjective fears of the
real fears that it's unsafe. Like it's objectively determined to be unsafe, let's say. The evidence shows that, you know, because there's no, you turn, you know, bypasses or that kind of thing. You're saying that can't, even their safety can't be considered?
Correct, Your Honor, because that gets into what this, what the Supreme Court addressed in Carlson v. Elmo, and which this court also addressed in Brewski, and which is referenced in Attorney General Walter Mondale's three opinions from the 60s, is that if the town determines that public interest requires construction to address the things that you're mentioning, such as, I'll grant the hypothetical of objectively fears of the neighboring property owners. If the town thinks that's an issue, it's incumbent on the town to pay for it. And that's where the difference between the requirement of construction on petitioners and the town's choice to address what they determine is in the public interest comes into play.
But can't the town assume that the cartway is going to be used by the public?
It is a public roadway, Your Honor, yes.
Okay, so then if it is a public roadway, why can't the public safety, the idea that there are very steep slopes and it's nearly unpassable, why can't that be within the consideration of the establishment of the cartway?
Because it's not enumerated in the statute, Your Honor. Because the statutory enumeration of what the town may consider is very clear and does not include those things. And it is important as well to look at I would suggest it's a hypocritical position of the town in this instance, where at the very first meeting on the cartway issue back in July of 2022, they made a determination that there was no public interest invoked by the cartway. By making a determination that they were not going to pay any town funds, they were making a determination that there was no public interest incorporated by the cartway issue requiring them to make any of those payments. Then they come back later and say, oh, but public interest does require the petitioners to pay $1.4 million of construction costs. Those two ideas are not tenable at the same time. They cannot on one hand say, there's no public interest, so we're not going to pay for it, but there is public interest, so petitioners have to pay for it. And we address this in other ways.
That's totally paradoxical. I could see deciding there are two property owners that are probably going to use this. We don't have, there's not, you know, it's not like it's leading to something else. So it's not a public interest to establish a road. We wouldn't independently decide we're going to establish a road. But once you do, once a cartway is invoked and there is a mandatory cartway requirement and it's going to become a public road with public access, as you agree, at the wishes then, I mean, it's initiated by the landlocked property owner, that it has to be done, whether it's the new route where it peels off or whether it's the other route with steeper things, that it needs to be safe for the public to use. And it's just the all or nothingness of it's either zero cost or 1.4 with this route. I assume, but we'll find out from the town, whether improvements would have been required even if the route you chose was used.
I have two responses to that, Your Honor. First is, I think you touched on an issue that highlights the town's confusion about what the statute requires, and that's in Kennedy and in all of this state's jurisprudence regarding cartways, is there is an inherent public interest in granting a cartway to a landlocked petitioner. Set aside any construction issues or anything like that, granting a cartway in and of itself is in the public interest. So at best, there is competing public interests between that value, which this state has made clear is within the public interest, and construction. So this is not a case where the town is allowed to say, oh, public interest is not incorporated by the cartway at all, because there is inherent public interest in granting the cartway. The second issue is I wouldn't classify it as an all or nothing. What it is the town has to determine whether it's all or nothing for the town. So the town gets to say, we're going to pay for it or we're not. If they choose not to pay for it, they can't then require it to be paid under the vein of public interest. Again, it's the case law in this state, we detail a number of them at page 33 and 34 of the opening, our opening brief, and 45 and 46 as well. The case law makes clear that if there's construction that the petitioner wants, they can try to do that. But that's incumbent on the petitioner to make that choice. The town can't require it. And if you look at the Hegemeyer case, Hegemeyer v. Spalding Township, there's actually a couple of those cases. This actually highlights that very issue. In that case, the town granted the cartway that was requested by the petitioner. The petitioner then, years later, tried to do construction on that cartway, but they weren't allowed to. And they came back then later to request an alteration. At that point, the town was allowed to put conditions on it under a different statute, but not the mandatory duty statute. I see my time is almost up. I will address any remaining issues in my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Council. You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Whenever you're ready, Council.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Robert Elsop. I represent May Township in this appeal. I refer to as him. We are here today asking the court to affirm the district court decision with respect to a number of issues. We would ask that you affirm the location of the cartway as established by the town board. We would ask you to affirm the conditions that have been imposed by the township with regard to the establishment of the cartway. And we would ask you to affirm the appellant's obligation to pay ongoing costs incurred by the township to establish a cartway, including the costs of this appeal. As the court can obviously see from the brief submitted to this court, we are dealing with a very unique property. It has the topography is very, it's essentially going down to the St. Croix River. River bluffs, ravines, steep hills. And when faced with this decision by the town board, the primary concern that they had, because this is a public right-of-way, is the safety of the public. That was their primary consideration.
Can I just pause there? Tell me when it becomes a public right-of-way versus not with respect to like other cartway cases.
A cartway is a public right-of-way.
Okay, so in every cartway case, it becomes a public right-of-way.
Correct.
But it doesn't seem like every cartway case results in the municipality or whatever the entity is, of requiring that the cartway that's established be constructed as a road. What is within, why is it here done that way? Is it required to have been done that way? Could the town have instead just granted the cartway as proposed, legally, as proposed by the petitioner, even though it was, in its current condition?
Legally, it could have, but it would have never adopted or approved the cartway as proposed because of the extreme safety issues associated with the unimproved driveway that they wanted. So the town board had to look somewhere else.
What if there was no driveway there and it said there was an option? Would the town have said, yes, and here's how you need to do it? The town would have, I'm just wondering how much the pre-existingness of this matters at all in this.
Well, let me just do big picture.
Okay.
Every cartway request is different. Every property is different. Some have major obstacles like we're facing here. Some do not, like you mentioned, out in the middle of a prairie, nothing. So when you look at each cartway establishment, it's like comparing apples and oranges. In this situation, and I'm going to focus on the conditions, which is a big issue in this case, imposing conditions. This town board was faced with, number one, a proposed cartway that in our mind didn't even meet the minimum standards for a cartway. A cartway is 2 rods wide. And this, at one point, is 11 feet wide. So it doesn't provide meaningful access, which is required under the statute. So our argument is the proposed cartway, unimproved, without any changes, doesn't even qualify as a cartway. But going on to, you know, what can the court or the town board consider when it does look at alternative routes? As council noted, the Kennedy provisions apply. And we would argue that we have complied with them because we do focus on the public interest. You know, what is the safety issue? We're going to an alternative route in favor of the public interest and safety. And safety is a consideration that's, to be considered by a town board. There's plenty of cases on that that we cite in our brief. And as indicated in the minutes and in the resolutions that was approved by the town board, the alternative route that we selected with the improvements is less disruptive to the Youngmans. It doesn't go down to their seasonal cabin. It doesn't go as close to the river as the one proposed by the petitioners. It avoids the steep hills and things like that. And the question then becomes, why are we putting these conditions on there, and can we do that? And our response is these cartways are not established in a vacuum. There's always kinds of issues that we're dealing with because of the properties involved. In this case, we were dealing with a very dangerous situation in both locations. And therefore, the town board determined that in the best public interest and safety, that they would require that it be built to the standards applicable for a road in the town.
What I'm hearing from you, council, is it's sort of a misnomer to call what the town is imposing upon or the selected route of the town are conditions. It's just an alternative route. Is that your argument?
Well, what I'd like to do for the court and what I was going to do is I want to break down my arguments into two stages. One, the location. And did we comply with Kennedy? And our position is we did. That because of the extreme public interest in not using the one they selected because of safety issues and because of the disruption it would cause to the Youngmans that are identified in the record, we complied with the Kennedy standard, and the alternative route is reasonable and compliant with the law. So there's the route, the alternative route argument. We've complied with the Kennedy standards. The next argument that they want to look at is, okay, can we impose the conditions on there? Can we impose the construction of a road consistent with the town standards? And we get kind of mixed up with this public interest thing that if it's such a big public interest, it's the town's responsibility. There's a difference between having a public interest to have a road going to only one property. They would never have built this road or this cartway. They would never have done it. There is no public interest there. But there is a public interest that once the cartway is established, that it has to be safe. And that is why those conditions were placed on it. This is a public road that goes to the St. Croix River. And the Youngmans actually have a gate on their existing driveway because people come by, the public come by, and anytime they see a road going towards the river, they're going to try and use it. In this situation, we know the public's going to use it. We know it's going to go down to the river, and we know we wanted to have it safe. That's why the conditions were imposed. So the conditions are reasonable, they're consistent with the law, and we would ask that those conditions be affirmed by this court. Now, the other argument that council has made has to do with the ongoing costs.
Let me bring you back to that prior point, because it seems like if you're under subdivision 2D, and you've talked about public interests a lot, so if the town has to establish a cartway.
Correct.
And then within, you establish the cartway that goes, runs along the river, and there's a lot of public interest, and you've said it's extreme public interest. Why wouldn't subdivision 2D require the town to pay for at least some of it? Because you've talked about, like, that's why they've approved this road is public interest. I understand they wouldn't have built the road in the first place.
Right.
But the route you chose is one for public interest. So why isn't the town required to pay some of that?
Well, I think it's very clear from the Cartway statute provisions, and specifically the damages provision, is that the electorate is not supposed to pay one dime for a cartway. It's a private endeavor by one landlocked property to get access. It's their access. They initiated it. They're using our powers to give them that access. But the intent of the entire statutory scheme for cartways is not to impose any costs on the electorate. Like as council indicated, we didn't want a road back there. It was initiated by the appellants. They wanted the road, they should pay the cost of it. And to the extent we think that there's a safety issue that should be imposed, if they're gonna want that cartway, they should pay for it.
But to Judge Schmidt's point, when the town elects to go forward with a alternative route,
right,
anticipating that that route will be enjoyed not just by the landowners who are landlocked, but also by the public because of the way that the route is proposed and constructed, then why shouldn't the town bear at least some portion of the cost? I mean, it's not entirely for the benefit of the landowners. It's now for the benefit of the town as well and the public.
Well, every cartway is available to the public. We can't deny that. Now, does that mean we should always pay for cartway improvements? No, we don't.
I think my question's a little more specific. It's when the town selects an alternative that is purposefully benefiting the public by providing a new access route to the St. Croix River, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems like we're not just doing things for the benefit of the landowners now. We're doing things for the benefit of the community.
And that's why I want to distinguish the selection of the alternative route versus the conditions. The selection of the alternative route is strictly pursuant to the statute as the Kennedy standard, which we've complied with. We thought that the existing requested route was just not compliant with the statute, wasn't a two-rod access point, was dangerous, could not be appropriate. So we moved it, okay? And we could have moved it without any conditions. You know, as council said, we could have just moved it and said, here's where it's going to be. You get there as however you want. But we identified another concern, which is this is a route that is going to go down a steep hill as well, not as steep. But it should have the access that, because it's a public access point, it should meet the standards of the town that they want for safety purposes.
And is it your position, Ed, had, for example, the Youngman driveway been the most feasible one to do because of, the terrain? In that situation, different from this, but in that situation, would the town have authority to approve that route, but subject to improvements to make it safe for the public?
If the Youngman driveway was wide enough. This is a 40.
Right. Let's assume those things. That's the best route.
40% grade over there. It's a dangerous road. If it wasn't 40% grade with cliffs on on both sides, it's an acceptable route. We would have clearly potentially picked that route.
Right. Could you legally have done it with the conditions that, oh, but you need to fix this part because this part isn't quite two rods. You need to length, and it has some safety concerns.
Well, when I look at the...
This helps me understand your legal authority to do the conditions.
When I look at the conditions argument, again, I'd like to do with conditions, alternate route. Under the conditions thing, I want to bifurcate that for the court. I hope you look at it like this. Could a township impose conditions, period, okay? Something, anything. In the Hagemeyer case, it was a culvert. We're dealing with a lot of regulatory requirements here on all parts of the property. Why can't we have that as a condition of the cartway that you comply with the regulatory requirements? That's a condition. So to say we can't impose any conditions, I think, is not appropriate. Conditions of some type are appropriate. And it's done all the time.
Okay, irrespective.
So the second question is, are the conditions in this case too extreme? And we would argue no. Does that answer your question?
I think, sure. Yes, yep.
Okay.
Can I turn you to the legal costs on appeal?
Absolutely.
Okay, so is it the case, does everyone agree that this appeal is pursuant to 164.07, that that's where we should look, mm-hmm. right, for the right to, okay.
Yes.
And so if you look at 164.07, it has a different damages provisions because that statute isn't, I mean, there's different languages for damages, right? Different language from the damages and the Cartway provision. But if the appeal is pursuant to sub 7 and then you look at sub 7 and sub 8, why should the attorney's fees, it doesn't look like a shifting of the attorney's fees in that statute, in the court actions, because I think your argument would say even if the town was totally in the wrong in a case and then a petitioner wins at district court or on appeal, that still they need to bear the cost of the attorney's fees. So even if the town doesn't prevail, the other side
right,
needs
yes.
to, right?
I understand your, I would argue that the, again, the damages provision in the Cartway provision is very broad. It includes professional fees, everything like that. It's intended to be broad so that the electorate doesn't have to bear the cost of processing a Cartway. And the appeal is part of the process. So I, there's nothing in the statute that would indicate, you know, it's only if we win or it's only if we lose. They are responsible for all professional costs associated with the establishment of the Cartway. And because we're in appeal, which is part of the Cartway process, we would argue, and it's been consistent, and to be honest with you, every case I've been in, is appeal costs are recoverable regardless of the outcome. Because if you guys...
Can I ask a follow-up question? So that would mean that even the cost, even though sub 7 and sub 8, I think, would suggest that costs and disbursements go to the prevailing party, that wouldn't actually apply either. They would definitely be paid by the petitioner.
By the petitioner,
irrespective
yes.
of outcome.
Yes. And just to make sure that the court's aware that if you were to overturn the district court decision in some manner, it goes back to the town on remand to, you know, to be consistent with what you consider to be unlawful or inappropriate or arbitrary and capricious. We don't think it is, but just so you're aware. So the process continues. It doesn't end. It keeps going, and the costs continue.
The judicial process continues.
No, the Cartway establishment process continues. That if you were to rule against the district court decisions, it goes back to the town board to redo their decision.
Oh, to redo it. Yeah.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I appreciate that. But otherwise, there's a remand for the damages in the district
court. If you
court.
Affirm, it goes back to the district court on the damages. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, Judge Schmidt? Thank you very much, counsel. You have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it.
Thank you, Your Honor, I do. Okay. I want to address a couple things that Mr. Alsop said. First, he said they wanted a road, so they have to pay for it. Petitioners didn't ask for a road. Petitioners asked for a Cartway. They are different things under the statute. And the history of Cartway jurisprudence in this state is that Cartways are intended to utilize existing access points, including rough, unimproved access points to allow access to landlocked property. Second point is I want to again touch on the hypocrisy of the town in saying, oh, you know, public interest requires that somebody pay for it, but it's not us. At addendum page 13, this is the town's order, at paragraph 7 on page 13, the town says explicitly, travel on and use of this Cartway is done at the user's risk. The town board assumes no responsibility of any kind or nature for anyone's use of this Cartway. To the full extent allowed by law, the town board shall not be responsible for the conditions, construction, use, or maintenance of this Cartway. So they're saying, again, on one hand, well, we're not responsible, but then they're saying, oh, but we get to control how you construct it, petitioners. Those are not tenable positions. Lastly, I want to touch on the Kennedy standard and addressing the different Cartways here. Page 15 of our brief lays out the chart of every factor of analyzing these two Cartways, and in every way, The proposed cartway by petitioners is cheaper. It does not construct, it does not do any damage to the roadway. The town has never mentioned in any of the actions at the town or in any of its briefing the fact that this is a ecologically protected area that includes multiple rare plant and animal species, and they're trying to require 1.4 million of roadway construction. There is no possible way that any reasonable person can look at these two cartways and say 1.4 million dollars of construction is less disruptive than using an existing roadway that the town admits has been used for, quote, generations. It just, to the extent there's anything clear in this business, and I know it's dangerous to say anything's clear, this one is pretty clear. The roadway proposed by petitioners is by far the least disruptive and least damaging of the options.
Can I ask you one factual question?
Yes, Your Honor.
At the end of the roadway that you proposed, what's between that and the property, the landlocked property?
About 5 feet of grass. And if you look in the record, the National Park Service analyzed the proposed route and said it would not require any tree clearing, it would not require anything that would impact the ecological area. The other thing that Mr. Alsop said that I want to touch on is he said, and I think I got this quote right, he said, conditions of some type are appropriate and done all the time. That's simply not true. Under MnStat 164.08, which this court has addressed numerous times and the Supreme Court has addressed numerous times, I submit to you, Your Honors, there is no case under 164.08 in which a town has required construction that's been upheld. It simply hasn't happened. And so the town is simply wrong on that fact.
Do we know that in every case? In some of the cases I was reading, I'm not sure that, if that wasn't the issue, I'm not sure we would know that.
That's a fair point, Your Honor. To the extent that the issue has been addressed, there is no case. So I will submit that to you, Your Honor. And there are plenty of cases, I'm sure, that never get to this level, so nobody knows. That is true. But to the extent that we have information on it, it just hasn't happened.
Either rejecting a condition or approving a condition, right?
No, the conditions have been rejected. In State v. XL Rose, the court addressed conditions and said that the only conditions allowed are the damages under the statute. That issue was addressed in Carlson v. City of Elmo, and it was addressed by this court in Brewski. So where conditions have been addressed, the courts have made clear, the only conditions allowed are the conditions enumerated in the statute, and none of the conditions imposed by the town that we're talking about today are enumerated in the statute at all. They simply don't exist. With regard to the fee issue, again, I think the briefing is clear. Judge Smith, you hit the issue head on. 164.07 subdivision 8 controls. With that, Your Honors, unless there are any further questions, I submit my case.
Very good. Thank you very much, Counsel. Thank you, Counsel, for your briefing and your argument today. It was very helpful to the court. The matter is submitted. We will issue an opinion within the 90-day period. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.